Can you believe the words that Solomon spoke to the one his soul loved? Have you ever read Song of Solomon 4, verse 7? Here's what he said. You are all fair, my love, and there is no spot in you. She was all fair. There was no spot in her? Come on, Solomon. Could you not find anything wrong with your wife like every other husband does and his wife? Did Solomon have an eyesight problem or something? Oh, no. Read the previous six verses and you'll notice he had very good eyes. Was Solomon dense so that he could not see her problems even if he wanted to? Oh, no. Read the whole song and you will notice that to compose a piece of literature such as this, he was brilliant. Was Solomon so accepting of people that, you know, he would love and accept freely even the most vile criminal after committing they've committed their crime? Was he kind of like a dog, like the dog of a criminal, you know, that just loves its owner unconditionally, regardless of what he's just done? No. Some of the first things that Solomon did as king was to execute two men whom his father ordered him to execute. 1 Kings chapter 2 shows him giving the orders to execute both Joab, the former general of David, and Shimei. You know, also Solomon, as you probably know, had many other women at his disposal. In the Song of Solomon chapter 6, he refers to them. Here's what he said, starting in verse 8. There are 60 queens and 80 concubines and virgins without number. My dove, my perfect one, is the only one of her mother, the favorite of the one who bore her. The daughters saw her and called her blessed. The queens and the concubines, and they praised her. And of course, he's saying, I'm the same way towards you. Therefore, when Solomon said that she was all fair and without spot, that is how he saw her, how he wished to see her, and how he wished for her to see him. All problems she had, he covered. Can you believe the words of the Shulamite that she spoke to Solomon? Have you ever read the fifth chapter of the song?
And verse 16? Where she said this, if you can believe it. His mouth is most sweet. Referring to the words that he spoke. Yes, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. He was altogether lovely? He was your beloved and friend? Come on, Mrs. Solomon. Could you not find anything wrong in your husband like every other wife finds in her husband? Did the Shulamite have an eye problem or something? Oh, no. Read the previous six verses and you'll see that she had real good eyes. Was the Shulamite dense so that she could not see his problems even if she wanted to see them? Oh, no. Again, read the whole song and you will notice that to compose a piece of literature like this, she had to be brilliant, just like Solomon. Was the Shulamite so accepting of people that she's like the dog of a criminal? You know, a criminal can go out and kill and rape and steal and come home to his dog, and his dog loves him just the same as if he did good things. Was she like that? Was her love silly? In the 8th chapter of the song, she spoke or wrote, in my opinion, the most beautiful words on married love in all history, showing her understanding of love and how she could say of Solomon that he was altogether lovely. Song of Solomon 8, 6 and 7. Set me as a seal upon your heart, as a seal upon your arm. For love is as strong as death. Jealousy as cruel as the grave. Its flames are flames of fire, a most vehement flame. Many waters cannot quench love, nor can the floods drown it. If a man would give for love all the wealth of his house, it would be utterly despised. That is, that's how other people would look at it. They'd think you're foolish for doing something like that. Therefore, when the Shulamite said that Solomon was altogether lovely and that he was her beloved and her friend, that is how she saw him, how she wished to see him, and how she wished for him to see her. Any problems he had, she covered. Likewise, I'd like to ask you, all Christians who love other people, I have some questions for you. Can you not find anything wrong in one of your fellow members or church leaders like those that every other member does? Can you not, church leader, find anything wrong in one of your fellow leaders or one of your church members like every other church leader does? Have you not noticed that we overlook the faults of the people we love? But the people whom we despise, even the smallest faults stand out. And we can hold them against those people. The Bible says that Christians are supposed to love one another. So what does that tell me about how we should treat each other's shortcomings? Now you know that Mr. and Mrs. Solomon had faults, mistakes, and sins. Even Solomon himself wrote in the book of Proverbs, you know, can anyone claim that I am cleansed from my sin? No one can say I haven't sinned. That's Psalm or Proverbs 20 about verse 9 or someplace in that chapter. How could Solomon speak of her as all fair and without spot? How could the Shulamite speak of him as altogether lovely and as being her beloved and her friend? Consider two things. Number one, what does love do? What does love do? Hear the wisdom of Solomon himself, recorded in the book of Proverbs, which really is the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. And this first passage that I want to give you, I'm going to give you five right now from Proverbs, but this first one is what's driving, I believe, the Song of Solomon. This first one is what's driving this sermon. When I saw this passage, I got this whole idea for this sermon. This first one, I believe, is what drives the teachings of the New Testament, such as the passage that Lake read earlier that we'll read again. And the reason I know that is because it's quoted. This first one that I'm going to give you is quoted more than once in the New Testament. Here it is, Proverbs 10, verse 12. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 12. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. Solomon practiced what he preached. Next is Proverbs 16, verse 27. And I want to preface this one by saying that I believe that Solomon and his wife, you know, all loving Christians, do not do what this passage says. This is the very opposite of what they do. Proverbs 16, 27. An ungodly man digs up evil, and it is on his lips like a burning fire. He digs up evil, and when he finds it, he can't wait to give it out. It's like burning fire on his lips. The next chapter, Proverbs 17, verse 9. And this is also, the first half of this verse is also quoted in the New Testament. Proverbs 17, 9. He who covers transgression seeks love. But he who repeats a matter separates friends. Proverbs 28, verse 25. Chapter 28, verse 25. He who is of a proud heart stirs up strife. And then here's the fifth one. In the next chapter, Proverbs 29, verse 22. An angry man stirs up strife. Look at the people with whom you interact. Does your behavior stir them up to strife, or does your love cover all their sins? What is in our hearts comes out in ways that people can detect what is in us. They can tell by our body language and our words whether we have hatred or love. They respond accordingly, either by striving with us or by accepting us. Second, I want you to consider this question as to how, or this thought as to how Solomon and the Shulamite could speak to each other in the way that they have. What does the golden rule teach as revealed in Matthew chapter 7? What does the golden rule teach? I believe this is what the two people of the Song of Solomon were practicing with each other, and here's why. Because even as bitterness stirs up bitterness, and that bitterness stirs up more bitterness, so love stirs up more love, and that love stirs up even more love. That's one reason why I believe that Jesus gave this powerful rule. Matthew 7:12 says, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do likewise to them. For this is the law and the prophets. New Testament not being written yet. Speaking of the Old Testament, he's saying, this is the point of the Bible, my brethren. God, in these 39 books of the Old Testament, is trying to get us to treat others the way we want to be treated. And now it's included in the New Testament to let us know that hasn't changed. God still wants to see that from us. And I believe this is how the two people of the song continued to speak words of love and beauty to each other without ceasing, which in turn made it increase even more. It's, you know, like that snowball effect. You just keep getting bigger and bigger, and you can see that in the song. Both testaments denounce hatred and command love. Leviticus chapter 19, right in the Law of Moses, contains a passage that does not head a list, nor does it finish off a list. Yet what is almost hidden here among other commands is something that someone later said is such a great command that it is second only to one other command. Watch how God slips this in there. Leviticus 19, and I'm going to start at verse 19, and you're going to notice how much of what is said here in this context is quite similar. Leviticus 19, starting with verse 15. You shall do no injustice in judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. In righteousness you shall judge your neighbor. You shall not go about as a talebearer among your people, nor shall you take a stand against the life of your brother. Excuse me, your neighbor. I am the Lord. You shall not hate your brother in your heart. You shall surely rebuke your neighbor and not bear sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Mark 12 shows that if you are interested in knowing how important that passage is that I just read, you can listen to the only preacher sent straight from heaven. You can listen to his comments on Leviticus 19. Mark 12, I'll begin reading at verse 28. Then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceived that he, Jesus, had answered them well. Asked him, so this scribe is now asking Jesus, which is the first commandment of all? Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And, he quickly added, the second, like it, is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Quoting Leviticus 19:18. There is no other commandment greater than these. So the scribe said to him, well said, teacher. You have spoken the truth, for there is one God and there is no other but He. And to love Him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. Now when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of heaven. There was another man present that day who heard that preacher. In 1 John chapters 2 and 4, that man gave these comments on hatred and love among brethren. How one ought not to exist and how the other must exist. 1 John 2, 9 and 10. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in the darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. And then the passage that Lake read for us so well earlier. 1 John 4:20 and 21. If someone says, "I love God," and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Therefore, as Proverbs 15 shows, love is a much better environment in which to be. All these passages I've given you thus far have shown, along with this one from Proverbs 15 that I'm going to read, that even as we might prepare a meal for one another, so we should prepare love for one another. Proverbs 15:17. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fatted calf with hatred. Amen. Perhaps this is why in 1 Peter chapter 4, another man who heard Jesus comment on Leviticus 19 taught that love tops all things. In fact, the passage I'm going to read, you're going to see him quoting from one of the passages that I quoted earlier from the book of Proverbs. 1 Peter 4, verse 8, now says, "And above all these things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins." Our Father in heaven looks upon us and says, "You are all fair, my children, and there is no spot in you." The Son of God looks upon us and says, "You are altogether lovely. You are my beloved, and you are my friends." Let us say to one another, "You are all fair, my brothers and sisters, and there is no spot in you. You are altogether lovely. You are my beloved, and you are my friends." Finally, now, let me ask you this. What do you think of Jesus? When you look at yourself, you think, "Oh, I know that I'm not altogether lovely. I know that I'm not all fair. And I know that I not only have a spot in me, I have a lot of spots. And some of them are real big." But he still left the most blessed place that exists and came down to live here, to be shamefully treated, to be rejected of men, so that he could become acquainted with grief, be known as a man of sorrows, and then submit to horrible treatment, so that we esteemed him as smitten of God. Remember that passage that Phil read for us at the communion from Isaiah 53? Yeah, he saw the spots. He saw the problems. But he said, "I love you anyways, and I want to do something about those spots." And he died for us, taking on the cleansing wrath of God, so that I might live. What do I think of Jesus Christ? Well, I know one thing. He's the Son of God. And I know that I cannot think of Him too high. I know that He loves me, and I love Him, and I want to love Him more. you think the same way, don't you? And you want to so live that you can die for Him too. And if you're really serious about that, and you've never taken a step in that direction, you can do that this morning. You know, when you're baptized into Christ, that's exactly what you're doing. You're saying, thank you, God. You're actually saying, thank you, God, for what you've done. I accept what you've done. And I now want to die to my old self. And I now want to live for that one that you sent to take away all my spots. And then you come up out of the water and you're a new creature. Are you ready to do that? Come forward right now as we stand and sing.